Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Bill Neville. I'm a business development manager with the Entrust Group. And today we're going to have Neil Bawa. Neil, if you want to, there he is. I think this is our fourth webinar that we've had Neil on.
I'm guessing it's fourth, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be the fourth. So it's always a pleasure to have him on. He'll have a very data, always does very data-driven presentations for us and always very entertaining. But first, I'm going to take about 5 minutes and just go over the Entrust Group and what it is that we do and what's a self-directed IRA. And then I'm going to hand it off to Neil. And then at the end, we're going to answer questions. So in the chat box, feel free at any time to answer or to ask any questions that you have. Whether it's for myself about self-directed IRAs or for Neil about what he's going to be talking about real estate. And then we're going to go through them in order and we'll answer every single one of your questions. Before we get to Neil's part, I will allow you to read this disclosure. In short, what it says is that Entrust Group, we are not advisors. We don't sell any particular investments. We don't endorse or promote or recommend any particular investments. We provide all the custodial and record keeping services to allow you to invest in pretty much anything you want inside a retirement account. As long as it's not specifically prohibited by the Internal Revenue Code, then we'll process and hold whatever investment is that you want to make, with real estate being one of the more popular investments that people hold inside a self-directed IRA. We encourage you, before making any investments, talk to an advisor, accountants, anybody in your life who gives you that kind of support and advice about investing, because it won't be anybody at Entrust. We don't give that kind of advice. So again, just real quick about Entrust, what is a self-directed IRA? Then we're going to get into Neil's presentation. The next to last is what some new things about Entrust, and then we'll get to the Q&A at the end. That's me. I've been with Entrust a little over 10 years. And my role as business development manager is primarily to educate people on what a self-directed IRA is, what the rules are, how it works, et cetera, et cetera. And I went to school at Penn State, 2-0 football team, for those who care. At Entrust, we have around $4 billion in accounts currently. We have about 22,000 account holders. We've been in business for 40 years. The owner of our company, Hugh Broma, started it in 1981. He continues to own it at this day. And one of the big ways we differentiate ourselves from our competitors is we provide a single point of contact. So anybody who has an account with us, I'm one of four business development managers, and we each have associates. So if you establish an account with us, you'll be either if you come from a referral partner or you're in a region of that specific business development manager, that'll be your point of contact. It's not just calling an 800 number and getting whoever happens to answer the phone. You have a business development manager and their associate assigned to you. We are custodians and record keepers of what are called self-directed retirement accounts. The majority of us are certified IRA service professionals. We headquartered in Oakland, California, but we do have offices throughout the United States. Again, the business development managers, we have one in New Jersey, one in Tennessee, one in Southern California. We try and do presentations and as often as possible, whether it's in person or virtual. We do have monthly educational webinars where we often bring in subject matter experts such as Neil. We have a continuing education program for realtors, for financial advisors, and for CPAs. For the realtors, it's in certain states. It provides 2 CE credits. If you're a financial advisor or a CPA, we do have a continuing education class that we can provide. If you're interested in that, you can reach out to me. And we have an IRA Academy. What that is we actually do twice a year, we do a week-long class that is geared towards our competitors, people in our space who want to pass the Certified IRA Service Professional course. And so we give a class and educate and teach so that people can, so largely other people that are in our space, that are in their retirement account world. We're the only company that does that. We're the only company that has the accreditation to be able to do that. So what exactly is a self-directed IRA? In short, it's a retirement account, whether it's a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, SEP IRA, 401k. in which you make all your own investment decisions. The custodian and record keeper, like Entrust, does not advise you, does not sell you any investments. And you can invest in non-traditional assets. What's a non-traditional asset? Anything other than a publicly traded stock, bond, or mutual fund. So real estate, precious metals, promissory notes, tax liens, trust deeds, private placements. I could go on and on. We had somebody invest in a racehorse and cattle, in an airplane. As long as it's being used for investment purposes, then you can invest in it inside a retirement account. In order for a retirement account to qualify as a retirement account, it must be custodied and administered by a regulated custodian or trustee. So that's where the Entrust comes in. We have the Entrust Trust Company that is the custodian. The Entrust Group acts as the record keeper. And so we have a quick poll for you that you can answer. How familiar are you with self-directed IRAs? You're very interested, you're somewhat interested, or you're not in, you don't know anything about it at all. So go ahead, the poll's open. You can click on that. Feel free to fire away. Again, you have a self-directed IRA somewhat, you have a little bit of an understanding, and not at all, you're here to learn about self-directed. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to the okay. So we have a number of people here who are existing account holders. What are the benefits of self-direction? You make all your own investment decisions. So instead of relying on an advisor who's going to recommend certain funds or certain stocks for you to invest that you might not know anything about, if you know real estate, or if you understand cryptocurrency, or if you understand, you know, you have a privately held company that you think is going to be a great investment, like all these things, a self-directed IRA allows you to make those investments and also allows you to diversify and not just be, you know, again, limited to stocks, bonds, mutual funds. People hold maybe four or five different funds, and they might have a large cap fund, a small cap fund, an international fund, and, you know, feel they're well diversified, but the likelihood is those funds are all going to move in the same direction. The market goes up, they all go up. If the market goes down, they all go down, probably at different percentages, but largely in the same direction. And you get a tax benefit. So if you invest in real estate inside your retirement account, you rent it out, those rental incomes gets paid directly to your retirement account. It doesn't go to you. So you don't have to report on your income taxes. It's simply another way to grow your retirement account. And that's it for me. I'm gonna remove my camera for now. I'll be back whenever we get to the Q&A, and enjoy Neil's presentation.
Thanks so much, Bill. Hi, everyone. My name is Neil Bawa. I'm your storyteller for this morning, afternoon, depending on where you are. And this is a story I've wanted to tell for many years. We have a large database of investors, and I do seven or eight different presentations that I've done for Entrust before. We have this annual real estate trends presentation. It covers the best cities to invest in. Our Location Magic event gives you the data science toolkit to find the most profitable markets. And our banking webinar explains why real estate only becomes more expensive. And I can give you access to all of those. But for the longest time, what I really wanted to do was to zoom up in Virgin Galactic's new rocket to this 50-mile space level and look down at the real estate world from space and figure out the truly disruptive trends that are driving real estate forward for the next 20 years, the game changers, the Amazon and Google level events that are happening in the background. And to find these trends, we had to look at over 50 trends in real estate and then carefully pick not the 10, even though we said 10, the 7 that I think are the most powerful. So we've gotten feedback from our audiences when we distill them down further to the 7 that we think are the most powerful, the most profitable, the most earth-shaking. And you don't have to invest with my company to benefit from any of the 7 that we're going to talk about. And that's the story I'm going to tell you today. A little bit about me. Some of you know me, but for most of you that are brand new to me, I'm a quirky and opinionated data scientist and technologist, and I have about 500 investors invested in a $500 million portfolio. More than half of our projects are new developments, the top row townhome projects, middle and lower row are large apartments and student housing. The one on the bottom right is a large industrial project. And I love all of these new construction projects, but cash flow is king, so the other half of our portfolio are ugly duckling, multifamily, and self-storage projects. They produce millions of dollars of beautiful cash flow for our 500 investors. Before we move on to the presentation, as you know, track record matters a lot more than a big portfolio. So it's great that our investors are actually kind enough to write reviews for us once they've completed projects with us. Like this review from Sarah, she has four active projects with us. Take a look. She's very, very astute. She's invested with a ton of different groups. So we think she can truly speak to our quality and to the hard work that we put in. All right, before I start the presentation, let's do another super fast poll, right? So how familiar are you with real estate investing? Number one, I'm new to real estate. Number two, I'm an accredited investor. Number two, I'm a non-accredited sophisticated investor. And number no, I don't know what the heck accredited investor even means. So if you could pick one of those four options, really helps me, us understand the audience and you know the structure. So we as we go forward, it's helpful to our presentation. Go ahead and plug that in. Ah, you guys are much faster to plug in this time. We're almost at 70% right there. Great. Okay, I think we can move on. Perfect. All right, let's click. So let's get this show on the road. I said I would tell you about earth-shaking trends, and these trends are all tied back in some way or the other to COVID. Now, disclaimer, COVID's not one of these trends, but it's accelerated all of them. Remember what I'm about to say. Hitler brainwashed 20 million Germans. COVID brainwashed 7 billion people. It affected us all. It changed us all in very subtle ways. We have new fears, we have new needs and new comforts, and there lies the opportunity of the next decade, because people don't just snap back after trauma. That's not the way the human mind works. Once you understand that as an investor, that the biggest impact of COVID is not as a disease, it's in the way that it changed the world. You can now look into the future and see trends that you simply could not see before, with my help, of course. So take a look at this. You can see COVID changed a lot of things. On the screen, you're going to see a bunch of things that were hugely affected by COVID in good ways and bad ways. The ones in the first row are well known. As you go down the rows, there are many trends here that are not as obvious, that are more powerful for investment. So quickly scan through those so I can get you ready for the trends themselves. With these in mind, it's time for our first disruptive trend, and that trend is hybrid work. Today, after all the research that my team has done, I can say with absolute certainty that the world will never fully go back to where we were before the pandemic. HR department after HR department is releasing survey that for white collar workers, the meaning of work has changed completely. Google, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, many other companies are facing mini revolutions by their employees. Apple's move to offer 2 days of remote work with 3 days in the office, it's not gone over well. Reportedly, there are thousands of employees that want more flexibility or they will vote with their feet. So let's dive deeper into the hybrid work phenomenon and what this could mean for you as a real estate investor. So COVID was and is the greatest single home working experiment in history. Tens of millions of CEOs were simultaneously trained in how to run their companies remotely, and they all discovered, to their shock, that they got more work out of employees than they did the year before. And as a result, 2021 will forever be known as the first full year of the hybrid office phenomenon. Just as we become used to on-demand screaming and shared cars and shared vacation homes, the office will increasingly become a place where employees go when it suits them or when the office fulfills some kind of specific need. Take a look at the screen. 95% of employees want hybrid work of some sort. 95%. 75% are willing to trade their perks for flexibility. 64% are willing to pay more for access to a workspace at home. Half of them would even fork over money to pay for a co-working space if their company didn't pay for it. These are huge numbers. These are huge. And employers are bowing one after the other to demand from workers. And if they're not, well, here's a statistic. The number of employees that are resigning their job if not offered flexibility is the highest in history by far. As they say, once you get addicted to a better life, people will not go backwards easily. Okay, fine, Neil. What does this mean for me as a real estate investor? Well, we have six takeaways for you up on the screen. Now, before I give you those takeaways, I'm going to do this. Hopefully, you're watching me on video. Every time I put my hand up and do this, you're writing. One of the things I don't like to do is put takeaways on the screen all the time. Most of the time I'm saying them and I want you to write them. So these are the jewels of the presentation, and that keeps you engaged in the presentation. So right now it's time for you to grab a pen and pencil and start writing. This is the only time I'm going to give you the six takeaways, but the other six trends, you're writing them down. All right. So what does it mean for you? We are continuing to see people move to distant suburbs, highlight distant, and even to rural or remote communities. We are living in the age of the tertiary market. We will continue to see demands for more bedrooms. So larger homes and larger apartments will become the norm. If the metro's hottest demand was for 3-bedroom homes, now it's 4. If the strongest apartment market was for 1-bedroom apartments, now it's 2. Tied to that is a greater need for co-working spaces, but not in downtown San Francisco, not in downtown New York, but in the suburbs. So there's a great investment opportunity, not with us, but for you to invest in suburban co-working projects. Finally, we see bidding wars continuing and even accelerating in suburbs and remote communities. This means that the next 10 years could be really good for beautiful communities like Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, St. George, Utah, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Asheville, North Carolina. Once again, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, St. George, Utah, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina. These are all places with natural beauty and a high quality of life, and people will flock to them. Okay, done with hybrid work. Let's move on to our second long-term disruptive trend, and it is healthy home design. The pandemic forced people to work far more in their homes. And people are spending time working from home, studying, homeschooling, exercising. Naturally, people who live in well-designed homes are better off adjusting to this new lifestyle. According to the Global Wellness Institute, wellness real estate is worth an estimated $134 billion. And it's growing really, really fast. Very few developers are competing in this space because, sadly, you know, not all homes are designed this way. And residents can literally feel the difference. Healthy home developers bring nature into building, greenery, like my backyard has boxwood walls, water, natural light, fresh air. People will need more common areas for co-working and socializing in a space, safe space. By the way, our latest projects do include botanical walls and wellness features. And shameless plug, I do want to point out that these features were designed before COVID hit. So now our investors are enjoying some of the benefits. So let's dive in deeper into this disruption. Let's start with some stats and tips, right? As you can see from this first stat, requests for home offices are through the roof. So are requests for multifunction rooms, 43%, and exercise rooms, 23%. Wellness real estate, which represents homes with filtered air and filtered water and green surroundings, are growing at 9%, which is way faster than the overall real estate market. So in the orange bar at the bottom, here are things you should look for when making real estate purchases. Balconies are worth the premium. So are flex workspaces inside the property. Green space near the property means lots of dollars for you. So when making investments in apartments, go for the ones with larger units, especially townhomes, and walk away from the studios and the 1-bedroom units, because in a post-COVID world, those are out of fashion. As you can see here, access to outdoor amenities is now a huge deal. The pandemic taught 7 billion people a new appreciation of the outdoors because we couldn't go to malls and movie theaters. Remember what I said about COVID brainwashing 7 billion people? 7 billion brains cannot just snap back. They cannot. So today, parkland in the US is valued far more than it was 18 months ago. Cities with more green spaces like Austin are on fire, while high-density metros like New York are suffering. These are just some of the outdoor and indoor amenities that we are seeing increased demand for. On the right, you can actually see how we've implemented some of these in our projects, which you can invest in. You can also buy them outright from us. So these are some of the things that you need to look for when you're making real estate investments today. Things have changed. COVID changed a lot of things. Okay, fine, Neil, but I don't build custom homes. Give me some profit-making ideas. Okay, here are some ideas. Consider investing in air purifier manufacturer stocks, companies like Aelen, A-L-E-N, or Austin Air Systems, or Blue Air. These are companies that are positioned to ride this long-term healthy home trend. What about water purification systems? Well, you have whole home water purification companies like Aquasana or Pelican or LifeSource. I think these could be great stock picks. My personal favorite is a company called Delos, D-E-L-O-S, Delos. They pioneered the well-building standard. They have breakthrough products like Darwin, which is a revolutionary home health dashboard. So check them out at delos.com, D-E-L-O-S.com. I'm not associated with them. Another pick is Peloton, which is a branded maker of exercise equipment. Demand for exercise rooms is through the roof, and we think Peloton's going to do really well in a 5-year, 10-year timeframe. And that's it for our second long-term disruptive trends, healthy homes. Our third long-term trend is the transformation of retail. The quote on this screen is worth reading. The pandemic has been dubbed the great accelerator. For retail, that's meant e-commerce taking a greater share of sales, store fleets being rationalized, and retailer and retail REIT bankruptcies being pulled forward. Let's dive in. I want to start out by pointing to this chart on the right, right? This shows the percentage of retail sales that come from e-commerce. As you can see, over the last 20 years, smooth increase. E-commerce sales were 5% of all retail in 2011. They were 10% in 2018, and then COVID happened. You can see this stunning once in a lifetime straight line growth. E-commerce sales have straight line growths, which is why Jeff Bezos is the richest man in the world. And what about brick and mortar? Is it gone? No. Bullet one and two talk about the massive hit that malls are taking, vacancies at record highs. Amazon's purchased 25 malls to create distribution centers. We're expecting 30% of mall-based department stores to close by the end of this year. But bullet four also points out that brick and mortar retail is not going away. It's just going through a very painful evolution. Retail will survive, but will morph into something different. And that something different is something you need to know about. Live, work, play type outdoor malls. Live, work, play type outdoor malls. These are a new type of outdoor malls that are a combination. They're a combination of retail, apartments, offices, and hotels. If you want to research this, a good example is Simon Properties Domain Project, D-O-M-A-I-N project in North Austin. The offices at the Domain provide customers for restaurants and retail stores during the day, and the apartments provide customers for them during the evening. There's also hotels anchored, and they benefit both from the people living in the apartments and the people going to the offices. This is a much more resilient model because it has multiple streams of income. Very smart concept. There's many ways of investing in it. So Neil, how do I make money from this trend? Well, firstly, while Amazon stock is expensive, have you considered investing into industrial real estate projects, right? Look at that straight line on the screen. If retail demand falls, wouldn't you see a massive increase in industrial and fulfillment centers? Yes, that's why the first phase of the industrial project that we're building in Utah got sold out at fantastic prices even before we finished building them. We didn't even put tenants in before we got amazing offers. Good for our investors. We plan on doing more of those industrial projects this year, so you can sign up to get information about them. But there's other ways to invest besides investing with us. Invest in logistics and fulfillment companies. Logistics and fulfillment. Here are a few. J.B. Hunt, XPO Logistics, Expeditors International, Coyote Logistics, Total Quality Logistics. Once again, XPO, J.B. Hunt, Expeditors, Coyote, Total Quality. These are all logistics companies. They are beneficiaries of this amazing trend. Once again, look at the yellow line on the screen. Don't you want to be part of that straight line growth? Okay, moving on to trend number four. But before we talk about the fourth trend, I want to take 90 seconds to tell you about one of our projects. And I'll start with another testimonial. Ivan's another experienced investor. He's invested with us in multiple projects. He's very detail oriented. So what he liked about our projects, other than the returns, is our class leading use of data and metrics to find the fastest growing cities and fastest growing neighborhoods in the US. So take a look at Ivan's review. Avondale Commons is a 320 unit Class B apartment complex. It's in a suburb of Phoenix. And most of you know that Phoenix is the fastest growing large city in the US, population growing at 2.6 times the US average, job growth at a stunning 5.8 times the US average. 200 people move every day to the fifth largest metro in the country. And Phoenix's rent growth is so incredible over the last 4 years that no metro in the US even comes close. In the last 12 months, I've been studying, except for Boise, no other metro in the US has grown rents at the 17% that Phoenix has. In fact, in Apartment List's rundown of the cities with the fastest growing rents in the city, in the country, 4 out of 10 cities are Phoenix suburbs, 40%. The city of Avondale, for example, saw a mind-blowing 29.8% increase in home prices between May of last year and June of this year. So imagine what that does to rents. So we started work a year ago on a 320-unit apartment complex with office workspaces, private balconies, large rooms, high ceilings, lots of amenities, enclosed garages. Remember, Phoenix gets up to 115 degrees, so enclosed garages are pretty awesome. And we've already raised $14 million for the project. The total raise is $15 million. So I think we have, at this point, about $400K left. We won't give you returns, but you're happy to, we're happy to talk with you about them. This is a syndication project for accredited investors. Hopefully, we can discuss what that means at the end of the webinar, and we'll tell you more about that at the end. But now back to the trends. Trend 4 is that Americans are falling in love again with the staycation. Before cheap travel, air travel exploded in the last 20 years, Americans used to love jumping in the car and driving to the nearest beach town or mountain resort. And then we got more ambitious and Tahoe gave way to Switzerland and Bali became the new Hawaii. But because of COVID, Americans have completely changed their mind about the short staycation. Trends from AirDNA, which is a data analytics provider, they look at Airbnb and VRBO trends. It clearly shows that when Americans did short staycations in the last year, they loved them. They want more. Bookings on Airbnb and VRBO for staycations over the next year are up by a staggering amount. Now, if you're thinking, but Neil, as soon as other countries get vaccinated, this is going to reverse. We think not. COVID brainwashed 7 billion people, and these trends often take a decade or longer to reverse. People get used to things, and we think that the staycation is one of the things that people are going to get used to. So now the big trend is people want to drive a few hours for their vacation. As COVID goes away, we expect the driving radius is going to go up. But the big message for you real estate investors is that Airbnb, which was a very saturated market, could now have legs again. We don't play in this space, but here are some ideas for you, right? Draw a radius of 150 miles around the cities that you're interested in or you live in and start going after homes near the water or with hillside nature views. They may not be in a trendy place, but these homes are going to go up in value and rent much faster for a decade. Now, we're not talking about Hawaii or Tahoe or Aspen. There's no money there. We're going to give you a list of unknown cities that are very powerful future investment. Remember, you have to look for water or natural views. So if you live in Washington state, look at Coeur d'Alene, which is 30 minutes from Spokane. If you're a Texan, San Antonians and Austinians now have a new appreciation for the beautiful town of Fredericksburg, 75 miles away. Atlantans are driving down to Destin, Florida, or to Orange Beach, Florida. Houstonians are staycationing in the parts of Galveston near the water. Californians are going to Russian River and to Carlsbad. Now, none of these are blockbuster cities that you typically think of in your Airbnb list, but this is where the profit is. This is where the demand is. So you have to understand this concept now is about shorter distances and nature experiences and a little less about gambling and skiing at expensive resorts. So I hope you wrote those 7 cities down. We think that there's enormous Airbnb profit potential there. Okay, time for me to move on to trend number 5. And those of you who attend our webinars know that we talk about how Americans are moving. They're moving to Boise, Phoenix, Austin, Portland. They're moving from New York and California. This is a well-documented trend, and our other webinars go into great detail on it. But we're now beginning to think that when we talked about this, we actually buried the lead. Yes, Phoenix and Boise and Austin are seeing amazing profit from all these people running away from California. I'm in California, by the way. But there's a simpler way to make money from people moving from dense cities, and that is suburbia. Our recent research indicates that for every one person that moves from California to Phoenix or Boise, there are actually several people that moved, but they moved to much further suburbs in their own city. Because this trend hasn't gotten as much attention as the interstate moves, we think it has more profit. COVID brainwashed 7 billion people. And if you believe that hybrid work is here to stay, then you have to believe that the distant suburbs are going to do really well in the coming years. We're already seeing it happen. Our tracking indicates that prices and rents in suburbs of major cities are going up much faster than the cities themselves, much faster. For example, at the top right, look at Chicago. Lost a bunch of people to its northern richer suburbs. But where did prices go up the most? Well, they actually went up the most in Oaklawn and Burwin. These are places that are pretty rough, I have to say. Oak Park, Oaklawn, Burwin, pretty rough, gritty places. But what happened is we're seeing very rapid gentrification, much higher rents in those areas. So our message is, don't be afraid to look in the rougher suburbs, because we think that's where the profit is. Okay, Neil, I get it. Far-flung, gritty suburbs, more attractive now. But are you going to give me examples? Of course, I will. If you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, your best options might be Oakley and Brentwood. Take a look at Modesto. If you live in Southern California, have you thought about investing in Glendora, La Cañada, or Flint Ridge? Austinians should definitely look at Killeen, 67 miles away. Phoenix lovers should look at the tiny town of Buckeye, 45 miles away, or the town of Maricopa, which is 40 miles away. If you live in Portland, you should look at Dallas and Detroit. These are actually tiny cities about 60 miles from Portland. If you live in Tennessee, you should look at a personal favorite, Dalton, Georgia, which is 35 miles from Chattanooga. These are all far-flung suburbs. They're not sexy, they're not beautiful, but they're inexpensive. They have large homes. Millions of people who've never even considered them are going to consider them. Profit! All right, moving on to trend number 6. But before we do, I want to share 90 seconds of information about another one of our projects. This is a 100% ownership triplex and quadplex project. And I'll start this section with one final testimonial. Avinash is another experienced investor. He's invested with us in multiple projects. He talks about his experience with a value-add property and a new construction property. And he describes how things have gone for him both before and during the pandemic. So check out his review. This is a collection of triplex and fourplex townhomes in the city of New Braunfels in the Austin-San Antonio corridor. The townhomes are delivering next year. You've all heard this build-to-rent home concept. It's the fastest growing market in all of real estate. In fact, it was the fastest growing before COVID. After COVID, when people want more space, they want backyards, this has become the unicorn, if you understand what that word is, the unicorn in real estate with valuations going absolutely insane. So if you take the hardest rent in real estate and you combine it with the third fastest growing city in the US in terms of population, you get a home run, pardon the pun. And if you place that city halfway between two mega metros, one of which is called Austin, then you get a triple home run. And New Braunfels, by the way, amazing city. Population growth is 6.5% a year. That's 10 times faster than the US. Job growth, 9.8 times faster than the rest of the US. Most importantly, its incomes have risen 55% since 2010, with a crazy 26% of that increase coming last year. That's right, income increased by a quarter in New Braunfels as the metro was flooded with new affluent buyers coming in from cities. Home prices went up 26.5% in the last year, and its inventory went from 2.5 months to 15 days. So earlier this year, we started work on building this beautiful community of 110 townhome units. They're spread over 10 acres right in the middle of the city. And the city of New Braunfels actually is doing us a huge favor. They're building this big modern park with amenities right next to us. So we listened to all of our post-COVID customers, and we built in vaulted ceilings, large windows, wide rooms, you know, office nooks. We think this is the dream rental product. It leverages all of our data analytics. At the end of the webinar, we'll give you ways to get more information about how you can buy these outright from us. Now, time for the final two trends. And trend number 6 is so exciting. This is so mind-boggling. Let's start with just the blockchain piece. At its most basic level, blockchain is literally just a chain of digital blocks. Blocks store information about transactions like date and time and dollar numbers. In simple terms, it's a way to store transaction information in a decentralized database that governments can't get their hands on. Now, real estate transactions, for the most part, they're offline transactions, right? Lots of paperwork. So blockchain has opened up a way to change that. Smart contracts now allow anyone to digitize a physical asset, like a home or an apartment complex, and you can take over listings and payments and legal documentation in real time. So you're now getting rid of all those months of lengthy paperwork and the need for brokers and lawyers and banks. Instead, you have instant contracts with the highest transparency. So blockchain and smart contracts are the key to making real estate a liquid asset class. But while blockchain and smart contracts are very cool, they become 10 times more powerful when you combine them with the third piece, tokenization. Because smart tokens allow you to buy real estate the way you buy stock. As a seller, you break your property into pieces of $100 or $1,000. Now the property can be sold in pieces at the same time in a dozen different online markets. 1,000 investors could own a piece of your Airbnb property in Coeur d'Alene. In fact, you could use tokens to raise enough cash to bring your equity in the property down to zero. And tokenization sites would automatically send earnings to all of your token holders. You never know who they are, you never speak with them, but you get the right to sell a cash flowing property in pieces. Property becomes stock. Heck, you could even buy a cash flowing parking spot in Manhattan with a few clicks. This is wild because real estate has always made more money than stocks. But investing in real estate was always 100x more difficult and 100x more time consuming than investing in a stock using E-Trade. But what if you could log into that E-Trade account and with a few taps buy $1,000 shares in properties in all of the fantastic cities that I've talked about today? You could, in 30 minutes, be able to put all of my suggestions into action. Wow. Wow. That's why real estate investors are so excited about the combination of blockchain, smart contracts, and tokenization. Now, this is early days. This is stuff that's going to happen over the next 4 or 5 years. Take a look at companies like, yes, got the pens? Propy, P-R-O-P-Y, Propy, RealBlocks, Harbor, BrickBlock, ShelterZoom. Once again, Propy, P-R-O-P-Y, RealBlocks, Harbor, BrickBlock, ShelterZoom. All of these companies in different ways have one mission: to make real estate as liquid as stocks. As liquid as stocks. And if we achieve that in the next 5 years, stocks had better watch out, because real estate could become the big dog on stock exchanges. All right, last one, last trend. I've kept this one for the end because I think it's the most predictive of them all. All of you have heard that inflation in the US is skyrocketing. Last month it was at nearly 6% annualized, and it's usually under 1.5%. When we look deeper, we found, and the Fed said this yesterday, that the biggest cost of inflation in the US was actually coming from real estate construction and rents. While there are many other causes for this inflation, the biggest one is that the material that we use to make buildings and homes has gone through the roof, not just post-COVID, but also pre-COVID. And initially, we blamed shutdowns in lumber mills. Then we realized that Canadian and American lumber mills have now been running at full capacity for months. So we started looking at construction statistics, and we found, firstly, more homes are being built in the US than at any other time in the last decade. Demand is astonishingly high because the millennials have now reached their home buying years. This is very important demographics. They're in at peak purchase years. We've also found that people all over the world, not just in America, all over the world, they've decided they need to rehab their homes, add workspaces, add rooms. As you can imagine, this led to insane increase in lumber prices. You can see that on the far right. But that was short-term panic, right? Even at reduced prices today, lumber costs 50% more than it cost before the pandemic. And we think that this means that homes all over the world, not just in the US, will cost more to build for a decade or more. And that is our big conclusion. The rich want bigger homes, and they want newer homes with health benefits and better views. And so upscale homes are going up the most. The middle class now wants a backyard, workspaces, exercise space. So demand is up there. The lower middle class wants apartments with more rooms. Everyone wants more, more, more. And the Fed is providing fuel with these crazy low interest rates. Okay, Neil, I get it. There will be a sustained increase in the prices of new construction homes, but I'm not a builder. How do I make money from this? Well, there's a number of ways that you can benefit. Firstly, if construction costs go up, then about 6 months later, rents for existing homes and apartments will go up faster than the norm. And we are seeing that now. In May and June of this year, and also in April, May and June, the last 3 months, U.S. rents increased at the fastest pace in history. In history, each month, 3 months back to back, at stunningly fast rent increases. These are the kind of rent increases that in 2019 we were seeing in an entire year, and we're seeing them in a month. Take a look at this screen. Boise, Idaho. Remember, annualized rent increases in the US are around 2% over the last 30 years. That number is correct. Boise, Idaho had a 39% increase in rent. And you might think, oh, it's just the one outlier, just the one place. Well, take a look at the other places. You notice four of them are in Phoenix. Spokane, 31%. Even the last one in the list, 18%. That's about 9 years of rent growth in 12 months. And it's not slowing. August rent numbers were phenomenal. Because of that, we believe, and this is the key message for you, COVID reset the entire single family market in the US. In the coming year, the rental market will also reset at a higher level. Any kind of rental investment opportunity will do really well. We don't believe that the real estate market is in a bubble because 7 billion people think differently today about where they live, and that cannot change in a short amount of time. If you think real estate is too expensive, we suggest you invest in lumber ETFs in the stock market. You can also invest in stocks of home builders. We suggest Lennar, KB Homes, Pulte, P-U-L-T-E, and D.R. Horton. Once again, Lennar, KB Homes, Pulte, and D.R. Horton. All four of these are huge beneficiaries of the trend towards larger, roomier homes where Americans are falling in love with their homes again. That was our last conclusion. That's our story. Just a quick look again, if you're interested in our products, there's a very nice person. Her name's Peggy. There's a quick link there. We can share it in chat, growcapitus.com/Peggy, and you can schedule time to talk with us. You can also reach out to us through Entrust. And with that, I'm going to hand this back over to Bill.
Okay. Thanks, Neil. And again, type your questions into the chat box and we're going to start answering them in a minute. So just a couple of things about what's going on with Entrust. We do have an app for our account holders that you can use to access.
How about that? I thought I turned off the camera.
We do have Entrust Connect, where it's a marketplace for existing account holders to see some projects and some private placements, private held companies, other things that other Entrust clients have already invested. To be clear, this marketplace is, Entrust has done no due diligence or research on any of these investments. They're simply investments that other Entrust clients have invested in. It's something that our existing account holders have requested over the years. And so it's something that we put up. It's been there for a couple of years now. And we also have what's called a My Direction Visa card. So for those of you who are holding specifically real estate, typically it's real estate, people are holding real estate inside their retirement account, and you have expenses such as maintenance, property taxes, insurance, those types of things. We do now offer a Visa card where you can transfer money from your account onto that Visa card, and then you can use your card to pay any expenses associated with the asset that you have inside the account. The Visa card has only allowed to be used for expenses for assets held inside the retirement account. They can't be used for any personal use, personal expenses. And so on that note, Neil, if you wanna, I think, move that forward and I think it has, I think we have our contact information, but I'm gonna go ahead and start jumping into these questions and go. Yeah, there we go. We'll leave that up. So you have my contact info and Neil's contact information. I'm going to start reading through these questions and then either myself or Neil is going to answer them. First one says, good day. I currently have a self-directed IRA that owns a piece of residential real estate. My conundrum is that other than keeping some cash to allow for expenses, I don't know what to do with the rental income that is received. It certainly isn't enough to purchase another piece of real estate. So it just sits there earning a minuscule amount of money. I considered REITs as an option, but I'd love to hear some other items that are possible. It'd be easier for me to tell you what you're not allowed to invest in than go through the list of things that you can invest in inside a retirement account. The only thing you can't invest in are collectibles. So like alcoholic beverages or art, collectibles, life insurance, and S corporations. Corporations are structured as S corporations. Other than that, you're allowed to invest in it. So the list is literally endless. It's whatever you can imagine. I mentioned a bunch whenever I was talking about alternative assets, real estate, precious metals, private placements, promissory notes, tax liens, trust deeds. Those are some of the more popular types of investments. If you're an Entrust client, as I mentioned, we do have Entrust Connect. Log into your account, pull up Entrust Connect. You'll see a whole bunch of different offerings that other Entrust clients have invested, including GrowCapitus, which is Neil's group, also has an offering listed on there. Some of them have minimum amounts that might be above what you're looking at. But again, I mean, you can invest in pretty much anything you want. So I don't really have a way of answering that question other than telling you that your only limitation is your imagination in terms of what you can.
Bill, I want to jump in and point out that, you know, my sixth trend was about tokenization. And what tokenization does is it allows you to buy real estate in $1,000 increments. I have nothing to do with this. You won't be able to invest with my company. Obviously, we have much higher minimums on the syndication side. But specifically for somebody that's looking to invest rental profits, look into companies. And I gave you five of them in this webinar. There's a recording that you have access to. Go back and just check those. You know, companies like Propi and ShelterZoom. They're selling real estate to you in $1,000 chunks. So if you like Cleveland, go on their website and buy $1,000 worth of a property in Cleveland that you think is a good place. So I think we've now gotten to the point where you can actually buy real estate in $1,000 and $2,000 and $5,000 chunks. Obviously, you're paying a managing fee to whoever's managing it. But that would be my answer. And it's so exciting to finally get here because none of these services existed 2 years ago.
Yeah, you also might want to look at crowdfunding platforms. I mean, the crowdfunding platforms came into place after the Jobs Act passed that allowed for, you know, non-accredited investors to invest in private placements in much smaller dollar amounts. And so they essentially you become a tiny percentage holder in a privately held company. Next question, to invest in a staycation property using VRBO or Airbnb, does the self-directed IRA need to pay 100% cash or can it hold a mortgage? The IRA can borrow money. There are financial institutions that will lend money to your IRA. So your IRA can obtain a mortgage, yes. We do have a list of some on our website. If you go to theentrustgroup.com and go to under real estate, you'll see some information about what are called non-recourse loans and a list of some lenders who are willing to do loans, non-recourse loans to IRAs. The follow-up to that said, if 100%, it's not 100%, but can I transfer 401k funds into the self-directed IRA and make the purchase? And so I'm gonna correct your wording. It would be a rollover if it came from a 401k rather than a transfer. A transfer is when it goes from an IRA to an IRA. 401k to an IRA is a rollover. And yes, you could certainly roll over your 401k to an IRA as long as it's a 401k for a company that you no longer work for. If it's a company that you still work for and you have a 401k, then you might be able to roll some money over to an IRA, but you'd have to, it depends upon your company's plan. Some plans allow for it, some plans don't. You'd have to talk to your plan provider or your benefits administrator to find out if you're allowed to do what's called an in-service withdrawal. If you can do an in-service distribution or in-service withdrawal, then you can roll over some money from your 401k with the company you work for into an IRA. Again, if it's an old 401k, you don't work for the company anymore, then you're free to roll that over to an IRA. Next question, Neil, this one's for you. Can you please repeat the list of blockchain tokenization things to look at that started with Propi? I will emphasize, we do send to everybody who attends this, we send a link for you to see this presentation again. So you can, you know, you can go ahead and just jump to that point, but I'll pass on to you.
Yep, hang on for a second. I'm gonna go back to that list so I don't miss any. Let's see. So Propy, Propi was the first one. Real Blocks, Harbor, that's a common name, so you'll have to do some digging there. Brick Block, one word, Brick Block, and Shelter Zoom. Now keep in mind, these are new companies. Do your own due diligence, but we are excited to see them take slightly different points of view. And while you've been able to invest in crowdfunding for a while, What these people are doing is they're doing it with single family homes. And a lot of you I know are more attracted by single family homes than apartments. So check them out. No, I'm not associated with any of them.
Okay, do we make these investments through an LLC inside my Roth? You certainly can. Any investment that you want to make, at least within trust, you have the option of either holding that investment directly inside your IRA or having your IRA invested in an LLC and the LLC make that investment. Now, there are some companies in our space who won't hold LLCs. I know one of those for sure, and then or single member LLCs. Pass-through entities, and then there are some that actually make you do it through an LLC. They won't hold real estate or, maybe notes as a direct investment inside the account. But then trust, you can do it either way. So in short, yes, you can make those investments through an LLC inside your Roth. You don't have to, but you can. How soon do you expect to see tokenization companies like Propi available to investors? Is that happening now?
Yes, the five names that I gave you should be able to invest money today. Yes, and there if that doesn't work, ask me for more. I've provided my email on the screen. There are more that are sending me stuff like this morning I got one that said 3-bedroom, 2-bath in Cleveland, minimum investment $100. Expected returns, I think, were in the 20% range. I think I can say those because they are not mine. So yeah, they were in the 20% range, it looked like a nice property, by the way.
Okay, sorry about that. Next question. How do I learn more about presenting these concepts for clients? Well, I'm not sure if you mean the presenting self-directed IRAs or presenting what Neil's talking about, but I mean, for me, there's my contact information. Feel free to reach out to me, and I would say, probably I'm going to let Neil speak, but I would say probably the same applies to him.
Same answer. You've got my contact information. If you feel like your clients can benefit from this presentation, I'm happy to do it. Maybe Bill and I can do it together.
Sure. Okay, I'm gonna take a real just stop for the questions for 1 second and do one more quick poll, which simply is, do you want more information on real estate investing from Neil? It's either yes or no. And so as you guys are answering that question, I'm gonna go ahead and jump to the next question and start reading it. Which this says, is it possible to invest in real estate via a partnership between my self-directed IRA and my wife's separate funds? The answer to that is yes. Your IRA can partner with anybody on an investment, and in particular, it can partner with what would normally be a disqualified person, which your wife would normally be a disqualified person. You can partner your IRA with your wife's money as long as it's on a new investment. So in short, what I mean is if your IRA already owns an investment, you can't bring your wife's personal funds in as a partner and purchase some of that investment. And same thing, if your wife owns, some investment, you can't all of a sudden add your IRA to that investment. However, if it's on a new investment, then you can partner those together. Andrew, do you want to give results of that poll, or is that just was that just for Neil's?
I like it. 83%, not bad.
I'm
Yay.
surprised it's only 83%, to be honest with you. Okay, thank you for this informative presentation. I learned a lot. You're welcome. The blockchain tokenization was excellent information. I'm grateful. Okay, so that was just expressing gratitude. So there you go, Neil. What is the difference between a traditional and SEP self-directed IRA? I have a SEP IRA, but opened a traditional self-directed IRA. A SEP IRA is an employer-sponsored account. So in order to have a SEP, you have to have your own business or be self-employed. So it's an employer-sponsored plan. Like a 401k is an employer-sponsored plan. A SEP is an employer sponsored account. With a SEP IRA, again, you have to be self-employed or have your own business. For a traditional IRA, it is an individual retirement account. So any individual can establish a traditional IRA. From a contribution standpoint, a SEP IRA allows you to contribute a dramatically higher amount. You can contribute up to 50, I think it's $57,000, 25% of your income up to $57,000. But the employer makes the contribution. So if you're self-employed, you contribute to the SEP as the employer, not the employee. With a traditional IRA, the contribution is $6,000 unless you're 50 or older, then it's $7,000. And anybody with earned income can contribute to a traditional IRA. However, not to get too deep in the weeds, if you're covered by a company-sponsored 401k plan, then you run into some issues about being able to contribute to a traditional IRA. But in short, the difference is a SEP IRA is an employer plan, a traditional IRA is an individual IRA. It's for any individuals. Can you list both the cities and companies mentioned? That's a pretty long list. I'm going to back Neil up on that rather than him like sit there and list them all and say, you need to just watch it again. You're going to get a link emailed to you with the link. We also have, you can get it on our website. We have a YouTube site. Like, we make this available all over the place. So, you know, you can access it pretty easily. Okay. If our self-directed IRA is fully invested and I want to sell non-self-directed IRA held properties and reinvest in a 1031 exchange, are some of these tokenized or fractional ownership opportunities eligible for tax deferred exchange? So can you use this in a 1031 exchange? Can you use that type of investment as a 1031 exchange? I would say is the quick question you're asking.
I don't know the answer to that. I would say talk to a CPA about it. This is new stuff. My gut feeling is that there's no reason why it shouldn't be available, mm-hmm. Possible. But because of the newness of this, you've got to talk to a CPA in that instance. The 1031 is very finicky.
Yeah, or talk to a 1031 exchange company, right? Yeah. Like they would certainly be able to provide that. But I'm with Neil on that in terms of I don't see any reason why it wouldn't. I mean, when you're doing a 1031 exchange, it doesn't say that it has to be in another property. So it can be lots of investments. But yeah, talk to a CPA or a self-directed IRA. I'm sorry, not a self-directed IRA company. Talk to a 1031 exchange company. I'll let you answer this question, Neil. What is the typical minimum investment amount you work with?
Typically about $100,000, though there's cases where it's lower. So yeah. We've got a lot of investors. We want to keep them happy. So there's an incredible monthly reporting regime that we provide, but that's typically the minimum.
Yeah. Again, I'm gonna for our existing account holders, if you haven't checked out Entrust Connect, you'll see we've got about 50 different offerings on there, again, including Neil's, that have a range of minimum. So, if you're looking at some different things, of course, not everybody's brings we don't have everybody on to do webinars though. Here's one just simply, I want more information with an email. So we'll forward that to Neil. I'm sure they're probably asking for yours. Again, here's the tokenization companies for real estate. Please repeat. Neil's already done that and it's in the webinar, so I'm not going to make him do that again. If I have the SEP IRA, should I open the SEP self-directed IRA? So you don't necessarily need to. The primary reason for having a SEP IRA is to take advantage of the higher contribution limits. Again, it's an employer-sponsored plan. It allows you to contribute higher amounts. If you're not making contributions, or if you're going to continue to hold the SEP with your current custodian, whoever it is, right? Fidelity, Merrill Lynch, Charles Schwab, whoever it is, and you simply want to open a self-direct IRA to transfer some of that money over to then invest in real estate or in with Neil or anything like that, you don't need to do a second SEP, right? You can just transfer it to a traditional IRA. As one of the people in our company says, a SEP IRA is just a traditional IRA for business owners, right? So, but if you want to move the whole account and you want to continue to be able to take advantage of the higher contribution limits that a SEP provides, then yes, you would want to also establish a SEP self-directed IRA. So you, again, the primary reason for that is to continue to take advantage of the higher contribution limits that a SEP provides. Otherwise, you can just do a traditional IRA. Lost my screen here for a second. Okay. Bill, a client can set other types of accounts where the contributions can be much larger. Yes, they can also do a 401k. Yeah, I mean, you can establish retirement accounts that the different retirement accounts have different contributions. Yeah. Is the webinar recording going to be shared? Yes. How about a screen? Sorry, hold on. I got a phone call that came in and now it removed my the questions. Okay, how about a screenshot of presenters with contact info? I think you're seeing it right now. Do you have to be an Entrust client to review the offerings of Entrust Connect? You do. That is a value add that we provide to our existing account holders only. With inflation on the rise and most likely going higher, government numbers aren't a reflection of true inflation. Okay. Doesn't it make sense that more people will be looking for affordability, which translates to smaller homes? People will have to get more efficient regarding personal and business expenses. I don't believe that rise in inflation is transitory. Neil, you can have to see you.
I do believe that the rise in inflation is transitory. In fact, August numbers came in lower than July. But transitory is a relative term. If you're saying, well, I don't think it's going to stay up at six, count me in. I don't think it's going to stay up at six. If you're saying it's going to come back down to 1.5% where it was in 2019, I disagree. I think we're in for 3% inflation for a while. Now, you sort of answered your own question, because if inflation stays at 3.5%, salaries go up at 3.5%. But most people have this completely wrong notion that if inflation is 3.5%, you can only pay 3.5% more rents. And this is one of my favorite examples. So it takes 30 seconds, but it's truly worthwhile. There's a family. They live in Boise, Idaho. It's a $60,000 income between, you know, the two owners. Maybe they have two kids. So they make 60 grand. Now, because of inflation being super high this year, they get a 4% increase in their income. So both the man and the woman, they get 4% increase. Okay. And they probably are getting more right now, but we'll go with 4% on 60K is $2,400. Let's say they're living in an apartment complex that is at $1,000 a month right now. What we are seeing consistently across the US is that $2,400, that extra money that's coming in, 50% of it is going towards rent. 50% of 1200 bucks or 2400 bucks is roughly 1200, right? So there was 24% of 60K was 2400, half of that is 1200. $1,200 on an apartment is 10%. Now, if that repeats the next year, it's another 9 or 10%. So when we are seeing this massive increase in rents, people are saying it's non-sustainable. They're making the completely illogical assumption that 3% inflation equals our ability to pay 3% rent. Actually, 3% inflation means we can pay 6% higher rents. And that's what's happening in the US economy, because inflation in the last 10 years has been roughly 20% total. Rent increases, 45% total. So you see how this goes. You can actually double that inflation number, and that's how much more you can afford to pay in rents. Keep that in mind. And that is sustainable. And if you get 3% inflation every year, you can have 6% rent growth for forever, really, as long as you've got that 3% inflation. So keep that in mind. That's a very key way that this is something that most people don't understand.
Okay, so the next one is a comment which had asked us about our contact info. It says there is no contact info, just pictures. So the font isn't really great. And in particular, if anybody's colorblind, I would say there's probably a pretty good chance that you aren't able to read that. So we provided mine and contact info in the chat box, and the answer to should have gone out to everybody. Next question, yep. Can you contribute to both a solo 401k and a SEP in the same year? So I would encourage you to have a conversation with a CPA about that, but my understanding is that the answer to that is no. It's basically if you have one versus the other. That being said, if you have two completely separate companies, I would say there's a possibility. Oh, thanks, Neil. I would say there's a possibility that you can... you would be able to potentially contribute to one and the other if you have two different companies. However, that being said, there's still contribution limits that you're not allowed to exceed, right? So just because you have two different accounts doesn't mean that you can max out both. There's a total that you as an individual, with a tax ID number, with a social security number, can't exceed that contribution. But Tom, again, you want to talk to a CPA about that. Here's a comment, Neil, that you feel free to respond back. But you said, I believe the feds have intentionally miscalculated inflation for decades. I think that's a follow-up to the the previous thing that you just talked about. I don't know if you have any.
I do. So you're probably talking about.
It also says, Neil, that inflation analysis is all predicated on whether or not your employer industry can afford higher wages.
In general, we've seen consistently that that wages track inflation. Now, you are correct in that wages are tracking inflation, and that inflation is excluding a lot of very important stuff. So I agree with you that true inflation in the United States is significantly higher than what the Fed shows to us every month. But it is not as high as what shadow stats show. So if because you asked the question, you probably know about shadow stats. I completely think that that is a debunked mechanism of showing inflation. I think the numbers they show are ridiculously, unreasonably high. I would suggest that when the Fed says inflation is 2%, it's more like 3.5%. And as a result of that, purchasing power is being pulled away from the middle class. This is a tragedy. It's been happening for decades. And this is one of the big reasons why people are getting into real estate, because no one trusts their retirement and no one should. Because Social Security, it's losing its value because of this fake, you know, inflation number. Having said that, I absolutely think that the shadow stat numbers are just nonsense. They're too high.
Okay. And on that note, Tom, you and Neil can continue this conversation, I think, privately. It's an interesting conversation. Again, it's always a pleasure to have Neil Bawa, who is just a wealth of information and knowledge and expertise and statistics. And I'm sure we'll have him again on in probably another 6 months for some other real estate related. Join us next month. I'm sorry, I don't know what our topic is going to be next month, but we do have these monthly. So please do join us, and we appreciate everybody who joined. Excuse me. And as always, Neil, thanks for being on our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. And thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
See you, everyone.